Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call it S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you have been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all cleared to know the truth. And the truth is, we are running out of time this season. We've only got one more week. I can't believe the end of the season is here already. The first half of the season seemed to take forever. We had a huge long break. Luckily, we had Agent Carter to fill the time there. And now it's over already, Josh.
You know what? They've got so much hanging up in the air that you're wondering how they're going to solve it all.
I don't think they can do it.
Well, there'll probably be more stuff that's hanging that we can anticipate over the summer.
Oh, you think they're not maybe going to resolve everything here in the season finale?
I don't know. We'll see. If they do resolve everything we're wondering about now, there'll be more questions.
They pretty much wrapped up the last two seasons like they would wrap up their arcs. It seems like. I mean, and not saying that they have to at this point, but I feel like they've got to take care of Hive with the stakes that have been raised in this episode. I don't think they can keep this going into next season.
No, but with the stuff we're going to be talking about that are connected to Captain America, I think that, and I think I said this last week, I think that's going to continue on into next season and be a potentially dangerous problem throughout the season next year.
That I can agree with. So what problems did our team get into this week? What were they dealing with here?
Is that, you want me to make a proclamation?
Yes. Would you mind?
Okay. I would not mind making a proclamation about emancipation.
I will ratify it. Hear,
thank
hear.
You. You might want to hear it first before you ratify it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
A little peer editing point or of something. Order. So, all right. Emancipation aired May 10th, 2016. It was episode 20 from season 3, which obviously means we're winding down. Written by Craig Titley and directed by Vincent Miziano. Well, you know, would you sign it? Would you sign the Sokovia Accord?
Oh boy, that's a tough question. I don't know.
It is a tough question. Yeah. I mean, that document there, that thing is so big and so important that it has overflowed. It has spilled right out of Captain America Civil War onto your TV set.
Whoa.
Caused it to smoke a little bit, some sparks. Also, I think it hit my computer a little bit, which it was a problem. But it hit Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. General Talbot wants to register and keep track of any Inhumans that Coulson's harboring. But the good director plans to be upfront, you know, about all the goings on in the base right now. He's going to let Talbot just know everything, lay it all out there for him, including the threat of Hive. So let's talk about Hive a little bit, shall we?
Sure.
Okay, he or them or it, whatever, is busy draining Daisy of her Kree blood to turn some human volunteers. Quote, that was my unquote. Air quotes. You can't see.
Yep.
Yes. Into inhumans. So he grabs some watchdogs as his first victims. I mean, proud recipients of the gift of inhumanness. The end result may be something from a Dorian Gray portrait, but Hive seems satisfied with it. Now, while Daisy is draining her blood in her Hive-controlled Jiffy Lube there, she has time to hack into the S.H.I.E.L.D. systems and contact
Lee. Left-handed, too.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's how good she is. But, you know, if Fitz were to see her, she would say, "I am not left-handed." And then she would, like, break in really easily. But, okay, so anyway, she manages to contact Lincoln, who's still being held in quarantine, right? But she helps break him out, no problem, with the assurance that he can be with her alone, away from Hive. And he's pretty confident that she's telling the truth, it seems. Well, he gets away. Talbot is so furious, his mustache is just twitching away.
Yep.
But it turns out to be a big ruse to send none other than Lash straight into Hive's lair. And, of course, chaos ensues, but Lash manages to save Daisy, rid her of the connection to Hive, and put up a pretty good fight. Unfortunately, in the end, he's defeated and breathes his final breath just before sending Daisy on her way back to the base. No, but you know what? He got Hive pretty good. It seems like S.H.I.E.L.D. may have the upper hand. But, of course, that would be silly to assume, seeing as, you know, this is the week before the season finale. So,
yeah. So, what? I think when Hive died, didn't he say, "You were right. Tell your sister, you were right."
I think that was in a deleted scene. That'll be on the Blu-ray.
Looks like I'm going to just say that James got the upper link on him. I think so.
So. Oh, too soon.
Yeah, it's way too
soon. No, not really too soon.
So anyway, like we both said, next week is the season finale. It's a two-parter, so make sure your DVRs are set for extra episodes, I guess. It goes from 9 to 11 in Eastern and Pacific time zone, and what, I guess 8 to 10 in Central and Mountain. That sound about right?
Gosh, yeah. I guess it would be. Is it 8 to 10 or 7 to 9? I don't know. I'll have to double check
well,
that.
Well, it's usually 9 to 11, so I think...
Okay, so it starts at the regular time. So yes, 8 to 10 Mountain time for all you Mountaineers.
All right. And as you said, Civil War was so big, it was just spilling over everywhere, and it spilled over into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. case files, too. So if you haven't checked it out, we released a special episode here this last Tuesday to talk about Captain America Civil War, episode number 319.5. So check that out if you haven't done so already.
And check the movie out if you haven't done so.
Oh, well, my gosh, yeah, the movie is absolutely worthwhile in seeing. I think everything you need to know, if you haven't seen the movie and you don't plan on seeing the movie for whatever reason, I can't imagine that if you're watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you aren't interested in seeing Captain America Civil War. But if you're not, I think they spelled everything out that you need to know here, that there's, you know, these things called the Sokovia Accords. And you basically, if you're a superhuman, you need to register and, you know, provide just some, you know, basic information to the government. You know, none of that stuff will possibly ever get misused. I trust these guys with my, I'm sorry, wait, what? They stole a nuclear weapon? All right. That's, I don't know. This make America great again. I don't know. This is horrible. So, all right. So the episode's called Emancipation. Do you happen to have a handy definition of that for those out there that are not sure what that word means?
I will pull out my gigantic dictionary here, and there we go. Open it up. Okay, emancipation. E-L-E-M-E-M. Here we go. The fact or process of being set free from legal, social, or political restrictions. Liberation. So being set free.
Sure. And that would make sense, right? Because we are probably all familiar with the Emancipation Proclamation, which was,
I hope so,
Lincoln's freeing of the slaves. Hey, wait a second.
He went back in time and freed the slaves?
No, he freed the slaves here. Isn't Lincoln responsible for freeing Daisy from her slavery?
I guess he kind of is, isn't he?
Yeah.
that didn't even occur to me, actually.
Hashtag it's all connected. So, before we find out what I think the real emancipation in this episode is, Hive actually does use the title and the word emancipation, referring to the emancipation of the humans, meaning their freedom from being humans, just lowly humans, to moving up to inhuman humans, or in this case, primitives, as actually happened, as his gift to Daisy. That's kind of creepy. It's like some weird wedding gift or something like that. Like, you know, he's kind of got a crush on her, and it's like, to show you how much you mean to me, I'm going to slaughter all these people and, you know, leave them on your doorstep. Ta-da! That's what my cat
does. Geez, No wonder my wife gets mad at me when I just bring her flowers.
She really wants you to, you know, I mean, you know, prove your love.
All right, I'll start working on that.
In sort of a, you know, Scorpio or a Zodiac killer sort of way.
Why am I laughing at that?
I don't know. But
well, Hive's lonely. It's been hundreds of thousands of years since Hive has had a companion. So, you know, a little lonely. So it's been building up to this.
He's got, well, yeah, I guess he's got memories to live off of is what I was going to say. And I mean, and Will's memories are relatively fresh of his time with Simmons. So I don't know.
They broke up though. That's yeah.
There's this creepy vibe between Hive and Daisy. I mean, it's just,
oh yeah, totally.
I mean, there really doesn't seem to be a lot of reason that he's keeping her around. And then there, you know, I mean, other than, as we find out in this episode, he does need her blood. But then he decides that he's going to, he says he needs more blood. And she's like, how much? And he's like, all of it. Now, I guess while I'm talking about this, I just want to go into this area a little bit. Why would you take all of Daisy's blood, because all of Daisy's blood would be then all you've got, right? We know that you can donate blood and then you don't donate blood and your blood replenishes and then you can what, Josh? Donate more blood, right?
Yeah, well you got to make it first, but yeah, then you it replenishes and then you, yeah, I guess so. Just, you know, drink lots of water and have a cookie.
Yeah, right, little orange juice. So, why is he thinking, oh, we just need to, you know, take all of it now and then that'll do it? And I'm kind of unclear on that. That just seemed like out of all of the weird kind of crazy plans and stuff that were going on, that was the one that had like the least amount of sense to it. And
well, I thought it did stand out to me. So I came up with two different solutions that I don't know if that's what they are or not, but that's just, I thought, okay, well, maybe this is where they're going. Number one, I thought, well, maybe all of it will take care of everybody. He's got some sort of method of distributing it enough that it would get everybody, or at least everybody he needs.
So if he were to take however much blood is in the human body, you're the teacher. Do you know? I don't remember that.
Four.
Four, right. Okay. Four what?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So if he were to take all of her blood, that would satisfy whatever his machinations were. That's one potential.
That okay. One, yeah, I don't know how that would work, but
sure.
Maybe. And the other thing I thought as well, now that he has turned the humans, in this case, you know, the watchdogs, maybe he can actually use their blood as well. Maybe it has, you know, they've been infected or whatever, so maybe it's not contagious, but transferable. Does that count for blood?
Okay.
I mean, it's not a train ticket, but you know what I'm saying? Like, right. Maybe he can use that too. Again, I don't know. He didn't explain, and he's like, oh yeah, I'd take all your blood. But it almost seemed like he was done with her. He's like, okay, well, I'll take that now. And
it was, yeah, I guess it was made to seem like he used her, you know, it's really a, you know, possibly a metaphor for an abusive relationship here, right? You know, you've got two people, one who's using the other, but the second person thinks that, oh no, they're not that bad. You know, they wouldn't have me do these bad things. Like, you know, I'm in control, even though she's really not in control. Like she said, she's doing this because she believes it, but we know that that's not the case. That it's his particles that are kind of controlling her and making her feel these things. So, and then like you said, when he's done with her, he's just going to dump her. I mean, like literally dump her. So it's horrible, man. You know,
I thought he was such a nice guy too. Jeez.
He does seem kind of, I mean, he dresses nice. He presents well. So
can't believe everything you see on the internet, you know, that's why.
Well, that is true.
Worry. When right. When I meet people on the internet, but
so this episode though, in reality, I think the emancipation of the title is actually obviously the emancipation of Daisy, who we've been questioning how she's going to get out of this for quite a while. And as Lincoln says, maybe that's what Lash was put here to do. you know, was to be able to free Daisy. It kind of goes back
Well, now, first he thought it was to kill Hive.
Well, right. So Lincoln's had these beliefs about Inhumans, right, that he's been presenting all season. His Chinese fortune cookie training on Inhumans. It's like, you know, all Inhumans are here for a purpose.
Yeah. And it always sounds reasonable, but he's really just making it up on the fly. Oh, well, maybe Lash is here to kill Hive.
Well, it seems like it, but I mean, I think I do think he has something, you know, going for him on that. You know, because we talked about the fact that what was it? There's the balance in the when Inhumans are created, which is why all the Inhumans aren't just created at once. That's why Jiaying, you know, only had people change every so often. It was that, you know, some when an Inhuman passes, that the, you know, other ones, the next one, you know, kind of replaces them and, you know, serves a purpose. Lincoln's powers obviously are going to serve some sort of purpose. Now, whether that's just a, you know, the general purpose, or there's something more specific, like with Lash. I mean, I think, you know, Lash seemed to be there to kill Inhumans, right? That's what he seemed. That's why he seemed like a monster at the beginning of the season. But now, as we kind of understand it, he is, you know, he's the inverse of Hive. He's able to kill the particles that come off of him, and since he is a hunter and a killer of Inhumans, like he might have been there to kill Hive. I wouldn't want to, you know, say that he wasn't, but he also was there to save Daisy, and I think that was very surprising to me. I wasn't sure how they were going to handle that, but I kind of knew what was happening as soon as I saw it.
Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting that I would say since, and you can correct me if this isn't an accurate episode where this began, but I think since Yo-Yo got there, there has been this underlying theme of religion and faith and destiny. And I think it's tied into a lot of the stuff Lincoln's saying, obviously, like you just said, but it's also, you know, tied into some of the other characters like Mac and Yo-Yo and, mm-hmm. You know, you could say that, Lash was here indeed to kill Hive. But he failed. And so, that now something has to balance again, something has to be there to take out Hive, and what we're told, it, you know, is going to be an agent that dies. And so maybe that will help maintain the balance of whatever happens as he takes out Hive. Hive dies, and now that, you know what I'm saying? Like the balance mm-hmm. keeps shifting a little bit. So, but I just think it's interesting that since Yo-Yo came on, we've had these underlying themes of that kind of idea.
Yeah, well, that's kind of their I think their overarching theme for the second half of this season. You know how each season they kind of divide it into two stories, basically,
right?
That they tell, and yeah, definitely, faith is a cornerstone of the stories that they're telling this part of the season. I like that. I like your balancing metaphor, though, for when Hive goes, you know, the fact that it's going to be an agent as well, because they have said it's an agent, right? They're calling it Fallen Agent, right?
Yep.
And we've kind of assumed that they're talking about Daisy there.
What, that Daisy's going to be the one that dies, or just that?
Well, they were, you know, when they were teasing it as Fallen Agent, I guess I kind of read it as Daisy has fallen to Hive's sway. So, you know, she is a fallen agent, but there's also the literal fallen agent. There will be an agent that dies. So let's revisit that a little bit. We've been talking about this since the beginning of this second half of the season, when we saw Daisy's flash forward, which we didn't know was Daisy's flash forward at the time. She then gets this vision from Charles of the Quinjet exploding in space with a shield, someone in a shield uniform or a shield uniform on a Quinjet with blood floating and a little golden cross. And I think we were both very sure that that cross was Elena's yo-yos, as we've seen on the show. So since in one of the 2 hours next week, they're going to reveal who's dying, what thoughts do you have right now? Where are you thinking they're going with that part of the storyline?
Are you asking me who's dying or just how do I think we're going to get to that point?
Both actually, I guess, you know, who do you think they're going to kill? And then, you know, what function is that, you know, how's that going to work for the show then?
All right. So, okay. So as we heard this week at the end of the episode, Hive has the ability to attack the humans, to distribute something to make people and humans to kill people. I guess that was his motivation as far as we can tell. That's what he's been trying to do. And it involves sending something up high into the atmosphere.
Okay? Dispersing stuff out.
Right.
And with this at the, well, he's stolen this rocket, this potentially nuclear missile or something like that from Indiana. This is what we saw that the watchdogs were. I think this is, was this what the we saw with the watchdogs were stealing, that it was a cover up and everything, or am I confusing something from one of the earlier episodes?
I don't know.
The watchdogs were breaking in for something, but I can't remember what that whole thing was. But maybe I'm just confusing something. Maybe we haven't heard about this break-in until this episode.
I didn't remember it, but it all came by so fast, right? So, okay. So then now, so we know that something has to happen in the upper atmosphere. So out in space, potentially. Now, we saw the vision of the Quinjet floating in space. Somebody is potentially in it. We're assuming. We don't really know that for sure, but that's what we're assuming.
We don't know that for sure.
And we see the cross, we see the uniform, we see the blood, and we see the explosion. All right, so if something is dangerous up in space, I'm assuming somebody's going to go up and retrieve it so it doesn't explode, so it doesn't happen. And it would probably be a suicide mission. You know, they'll be sacrificing themselves. So whoever goes up there will sacrifice themselves to save the day.
Right.
Okay. So you have your theories on who you think is going to – is that what you think? Is that kind of sound logical to you, or do you have another idea?
Yeah. I hadn't even thought it out that far, but knowing that they were talking about this high atmospheric dispersal that, you know, a Quinjet flying up to that area to stop the missile or – intercept or whatever. I think that is a, I think that fits with exactly everything that we've been told. And that's as good an idea as any that I've thought about, as to what's going to happen.
All right. So then who is the one doing it? Well, I'm guessing that is the agent that is going to die, as whoever takes the Quinjet up there to stop them.
That sounds reasonable.
It sounds reasonable. There are plenty of other ways they could go about doing that. But, you know, I mean, they could still stop it. They go up there and somebody else dies, you know, so somebody else dies before they go up there. Or,
right.
I mean, there's lots of twists they could give that we have no clues about, because otherwise it wouldn't be the big twist at the end, you know?
Sure. So are you just going to start guessing all of the different characters so you can say that you were right next week?
That was my plan. Yeah, that way I
was going to just think. I was thinking we should just probably pick one.
Just pick one. All right.
Yeah,
okay. That narrows it down. My chances are a lot lower.
I'm sorry. You can, out of all the characters on the show, there are quite a few. I think you can easily cross off the list of being in danger. Now I'm talking Coulson. I'm talking Daisy. Okay, I think that's about it. Everybody else has the potential to that. Maybe not May. I don't know. May's got a May. There's a chance that it might be her, but I don't know. Who do you think?
You don't think there's a chance that Daisy's going to be the one?
I honestly don't. I feel the show is enough about her. Again, she's always kind of been the audience surrogate. So I feel that to kill her and you know, God forbid for a show by the Whedons to, you know, do whatever I want it to do, you know, and not disappoint me by killing somebody I love. But I just think that she is the audience surrogate character still. We're still really invested in her story, and we're not done with her story yet. She has to go through some kind of guilt redemption arc for all of the things that she wasn't responsible for, but she did. So
I don't disagree with you. I don't think it's going to be her either. I was just interesting that you took her off the table. So I think I'm with you on that. So, all right. Well, I think I don't like to say this, but at this point, I think it's going to be Mac.
No, I knew you were going to say that.
I know.
My wife was so, oh my gosh, Mac's going to die. I'm like, shut your mouth. It is not going to happen. I so do not want Mac to die. And when Elena gave him the necklace this week, I was pissed. So pissed.
I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, not it. Hey, I heard this thing was going to be on an exploding jet. So I'm trying to sell it.
So, okay. I totally understand why Mac. It seems like an obvious choice at this point. The cross appears to be, you know, earlier in the season we were talking about, oh, it's Yo-Yo's cross. Is Yo-Yo going to die? But of course, I feel that whole setup with us thinking that it's Yo-Yo is kind of just a red herring. Yo-Yo's very much a member of the Secret Warriors in the comics. She is, she's one of the founding members, as is the character of James, the Hellfire character. He is on the Secret Warriors. So I don't think it's going to be Elena. And again, that's why she gave up her necklace. And just as a side note, I feel James will be released from Hive's sway and will be brought into the team for next season as a new Inhuman.
I agree with that.
So, okay, so let's look at Mac. We've been talking Mac's been talking a lot about Faith. You know, he's really gotten the crap beat out of him here in the last few episodes, and he's a fan favorite. Lots of strikes against him, or for him, I guess, if you're counting him as the one to die next week.
Yeah. Well, you know, and also he's got some guilt issues to work out after, you know, he felt so guilty about losing Daisy. Yeah. And then he felt even more guilty after thinking he'd lost her permanently, you know, and she almost killed him. Just the failing. And I think this would feel as if it was a redemption, you know, but I don't want to die either. Mac's a really interesting character to me. I find him fascinating, and that there's so many different ways they could go with him still. What we found out this season, and he could be really, a powerful character to watch.
And he's getting happier. He's drawing pictures of a motorcycle that he wants to build.
Oh no. Oh. Happiness is bad.
Oh, this is terrible. Okay. So yeah. So a lot of reasons why it could be Mac. Plus, if it is Mac, Daisy will never get to have that talk with him about how sorry she is for, you know, almost killing him. Like, I think that is an important thing that she probably will need to do at some point. So
yeah, I think that will happen. If it is Mac, I think it'll happen before he dies.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
I do, yeah.
Okay.
That's probably the last thing that will happen before he dies. Mm-hmm. But because she's there, in the base, she's released from Hive's grip. Mac is there; he's recovering and drawing and stuff, you know. So I think that that's going to happen. I think that he'll be one of her first visitors in there. That's my guess.
How's it going, Tremors?
hey, boy, sorry, I almost killed you and all.
Yeah. It's really convincing, Josh. I don't know. I'm almost tempted to change my answer.
I'd like to hear your answer, because I mean, you come to very logical conclusions and you see the characters in sometimes different ways than I do. So what were you thinking?
So I'm thinking it's going to be Lincoln.
And you're thinking Lincoln?
I'm thinking Lincoln. And I would bet $5 on it right now. That's all I've got. But I think – okay, so here's my reasoning for this. It's Lincoln's been talking about the purposes for all of the Inhumans and thinking that Lash was here to kill Hive. But Lash was actually here to save Daisy, if we take it at Lincoln's face value there. So what's Lincoln's purpose? Like, what has his purpose been? Just to kind of be there for Daisy? I think Lincoln's purpose is to kill Hive. Hive has this giant missing section of his torso right now. Perfect entry point for a lightning bolt. Also, I kind of feel that it's kind of needs to be an inhuman for an inhuman at this point, that an inhuman will be the one that needs to take out Hive. And now how the necklace factors into all of this, you know, maybe Matt gives it to him as kind of a going away gift because, you know, Lincoln's been talking about, you know, faith, his own faith in the Inhumans and stuff like this. So maybe it's a good luck thing. Maybe it's something where Mac's wearing it and somebody grabs for him or pushes him off of, you know, pushes him out of the way and it comes loose because it gets tangled up in their hand. And so it's floating in the ship. You know, there are any number of reasons. We saw Fitz holding it up, or what appeared to be Fitz holding it up in the previews for next week. I don't think in any fashion it's going to be Fitz, but that he is also a possibility, you know, just due to the nature of the relationship being in a good place now with Simmons. But nice. Also, Lincoln is the character of Lincoln is brand new for the show. He's never really been a member of the Secret Warriors in the comics. And I feel that his death would, because right now, I mean, what else does that character have to offer for the show? He's really attracted to Daisy and wants to be with her, but there's such a rift between them now. Like, he feels so betrayed because she was trying to convince him to come, you know, visit for a little, you know, nookie or whatever, knowing that Hive was going to get him. And so, you know, he's finally learning to work. He's been trying to work as a teammate for all season. And I feel like that him making that sacrifice will be the final point where he kind of, you know, just proves to Coulson and to Talbot and everybody else that he is here as a team member and he is being completely unselfish and he's going to do the right thing.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I could totally see it being Lincoln.
Plus his electricity power, you know, if he's in the Quinjet, he could like zap the missile in some fashion. So,
yeah, I mean, that all makes sense. And I think that would fit really well too. I think it's a pretty safe bet to pick Lincoln. I don't disagree with any of that. I do think he has some more to offer to the show. I mean, you could potentially say that about a lot of people, Yo-Yo and, what's his name? Joey. And is that it? Joey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he have
the Melter?
That's his name, the Melter?
No, I don't know what is. He was talking about different names.
Yeah, he needs to come up with a good one. Maybe that's why he dies, because he doesn't have a name. So. Hey, I guess Lincoln doesn't really have a name either.
Oh, they call him Spark Plug.
That's true. I kind of like that, actually. I think Lincoln is a good bet. I think I'm still going with Mac, just because, you know, that's what was in my head, and we'll see. I hope it's not. I'm actually more towards Lincoln than Mac. I would almost prefer that. Nothing against Lincoln. It's an interesting character, but not quite as not quite the interesting options that Mac has.
Yeah. Well, what's cool with it, what all the listeners don't know is we're going to record different versions of this, saying, you know, why we think each character is perfect, and then we'll actually go back and re-edit last week's episode. So when people go, wait, you said it was Lincoln, and then actually turns out to be Fitz or whatever, we'll just insert that. So that'll be cool. I'll edit this part.
It's going
to
be Agent Koenig, you know, that's they're bringing him back just for this.
Oh man. Just after he lost his wife too, that would not be good. So
sad. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So a lot of good ideas there. And, I guess, we'll have to see who it is next week.
We'll see. I'm worried, but I guess that's what makes it a finale.
Yeah. Yeah. It actually, I mean, they are setting up stakes, and the stakes are suitably high. I like all of these. Well, I like watching all the characters. I'm kind of worried what happens when they kill off Hive, because, what are they going to do for a villain next season? Obviously, like you said, I think the Sokovia Accords are going to factor in some fashion. I wouldn't be surprised if basically it's the S.H.I.E.L.D. team against the government and, you know, some senators or something, you know, I don't know, whatever, you know, some government agency or the ATCU starts hunting S.H.I.E.L.D. again or something like that. Though I would like them to keep going with the superpower stuff as well.
Yeah, and we've talked about several different options for villainous factions like Hydra over the last couple of years, you know, so they could go some of those options. I mean, there's a lot of different things from the comic book that mm-hmm. they could pull from, a lot like they did the Secret Warriors, you know. I mean, they the stories obviously are different, and a lot of things that fit the characters that are just from the TV show and not in the original comic, but yeah. They got a lot of the ideas, and man, there's years and years worth of S.H.I.E.L.D. comics, Nick Fury comics, and just Marvel comics in general that I think they could pull some pretty good bad guys from. So I think they got probably something up their sleeve. Oh, who would have thought this year we would have got an ancient Kree-created villain from a planet that Simmons had been sucked into? I mean, I had no idea they were going in that direction. So.
Oh, yeah. And well, that's what I like. They don't tease us with like, hey, you know, we're thinking about doing this, you know, alien planet and this ancient inhuman and stuff like this. And they don't give people a chance to like be thinking about it in advance going, oh, that's a great idea. Or boy, that's a stupid idea or whatever. They just do it. They just keep telling good, solid stories, I feel. So really neat. I want to talk a little bit more about Daisy and, something else that just struck me as kind of creepy, because going back to what I was saying earlier, just about the relationship between Daisy and Hive, you know, and how weird that was. When they look in the shipping container and see all of these new mutants, which you can't use the term mutants, right? So they call them, what is it, primitives?
You're going to have to pay like $20 for just saying that just now.
Oh, I do?
Yeah,
I think so. I have to pay Fox, I guess. Yeah. 20th Century Fox.
they could use it.
What happens if I say, like, Fantastic Four? Do they owe me money?
I think you just paid them back. I think you're good now. You're all even.
Balanced it out right out.
Yes.
So when they look into the shipping container and see these primitives, you know, he talks about it. I think he says, like, our children. I mean, and basically it is the offspring of their blood. So, you know, kind of Daisy and Hive as mother and father. This is like the total skeevy end of S.H.I.E.L.D. where you've got, you know, Daisy being roped into. I just feel like banjos are going to start playing or something. I mean, it's just it's horrendous. Again, as a counterpoint against like Coulson and May, who are parental. Archetypes for Daisy on the S.H.I.E.L.D. team, than to have Hive and Daisy, and you know, basically a guy that looks like Ward, who with all the cruel things that he had done to Daisy over time, for them to be paired together as like a family, it's just I got to take a shower after that. It's just gross.
It is a kind of a crazy symbolic presentation, though. And I even had a thought this week, way back at the beginning of season 3, when Coulson was, you know, gathering all of these characters to put together as a team, And now, I mean, look what this team has become and accomplished or destroyed and where they have gone. It's insane to think that if he had had another team, it would have gone in a completely different direction. And this wouldn't have happened. All from just kind of getting Grant Ward there and actually really Daisy.
Yeah, well, it might have gone a different way, but it also may have gone this way and just never been able to be righted. I mean, I think the team that they have in place is the best team to find a solution for this in some fashion.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, they're our heroes, man. They've got to do it.
Right. We also talked a little bit about the guilt that Daisy has for attacking Mac, but what do you think, if anything, she's going to feel about Lash? And, you know, she had a few moments with him there on the Quinjet after James had attacked. Luckily, she had enough energy to knock James out of the boarding ramp. But
yeah. Bad timing, a little late there, kid. Come on.
He was on a beer run, you know, and obviously he got back in time. So
they're quick at that at that liquor store. So, yeah. All right. So, man, everybody had thought Lash was gone, was permanent. You know, there was no more Andrew left in him, no more good left in him. He was Lash. Once he had turned and kind of maintained that body shape, he would also maintain the persona of Lash.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what everybody believed. Even Daisy, I think at the point she wasn't gone yet. Right. Didn't they bring him in right as they were getting ready to leave or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was before that. So I think she was privy to all of that.
Right. So everybody, but yet he actually goes and saves her life. Breaks the bonds from Hive, almost takes out Hive, probably could have in a different circumstance.
Yeah.
So was he gone? I mean, maybe he had the physical shape permanent, but was there still some Andrew left in him? He saved her. And if all he was meant for was to kill Hive and that was his only, instinct, I guess, right? It was to just go kill Hive.
Right, they were talking about how he worked on instinct.
Right. So he could have just done that. He could have kept fighting. Yeah. Could have gone after him again and totally ignored Daisy. But that's not what he did. So I think there was some of Andrew left in him. I think that when he saw Daisy, he knew he had to rescue her and turn his back on the bad guy's lair. Anyway, seriously, just turn around. But I think there's going to be some guilt from being responsible for Lash's death. You could argue whether she was responsible or not, but in the end, he died because he was saving her. Could she have prevented it? No, probably not. I mean, there was nothing she could really do, but I think she was responsible. So she's going to feel pretty guilty about that, which, you know, again, could be used as an argument that maybe it is Daisy. After all this stuff that she has done and caused, and maybe it is Daisy that's in the plane. Maybe she's the one. I mean, remember, she's the one that saw the vision. She's the one that saw, and everybody that can't remember the guy's name, but everybody that he touched,
Charles,
saw their own death. So that there's a lot of good arguments that could be said for her being the one in the plane that explodes and her dying.
Yeah, I just.
I still don't think it's her. I still think it's going to be Mac.
I know.
But.
I know. They've been pretty straightforward and consistent with the way that things are interpreted or happen, and that's so that right now that's the one thing I can't really rectify. Other than, okay. So here I can rectify this. So, Daisy was remote controlling the Quinjet, right, with like a video feed.
Oh yeah,
Lincoln on it. So she could really still be seeing that, but maybe it's through a video camera because we've seen, and she was remote controlling the plane
right
up there.
They went out of their way of showing Coulson shooting her in her vision back a few episodes ago.
Yes,
and when it turned out it was something totally different. So yes, they went out of their way to say that these visions could be misinterpreted. So of course, that's why I still don't think it's her. But there's a lot of arguments to point to her being the one that dies. So,
right. Okay. Yeah. Good points. I thought the battle of Hive versus Lash was a nice little TV version of Civil War. You know, even if it only lasted, you know, what, like 3 minutes or something like that. A little bit less than the movie version.
Just a little bit.
Finally, let's just talk a little bit more about the faith argument that the characters have here. So Mac seems to have lost his faith. We saw, you know, several episodes ago, he had very strong faith and was something that he could connect with Elena on. And after the attack last week, that's something that really kind of it left him shaken and it shook his faith. You know, you hear about people having crises of faith and things like that. So, and then, like I said, Mac is doing these drawings of his motorcycle, and I think Elena says something about him, you know, getting his faith back based on that.
Yeah.
So why do you suppose they are talking about faith with these characters? Why bring that into this series?
Ooh, that, wow.
Bet you didn't see that
deep
one coming.
I didn't know you were going to throw deep questions at me. Mac, I think it's going to be Mac.
No, you're not going to get the easy way out of this one.
Oh, geez. Why? Well, okay, I'm going to answer in an easy way at first. Just kind of, I guess it's an obvious answer. But, you know, it makes the characters quite a bit more interesting to look at, and it gives, you know, more directions for them to go, as, you know, I was kind of saying earlier. So that's one reason, I think, you know, just from a writer point of view. But I, you know, I guess in some ways it gives Mac somebody to connect to, or maybe it's giving Yo-Yo somebody to connect to, since she's a new character to the show. So they need some sort of hook for her to make a connection with the, with somebody else on the team that's mm-hmm. already been there probably, you know? Right. And so that's her and Mac's connection. But it also, I think it really helps play upon this whole idea that we've seen with the Inhumans and in the Marvel movies like Captain America and, you know, in other Marvel series, X-Men and things like that, where we have organisms, I guess, on the planet, people, we'll just call them people, right? That have abilities that are different than people with non-abilities.
Right.
So there's differences here, and they you have to learn to deal with them. So how you deal with them, I think, tells a lot about your character. And your character maybe wants to stay strong and keep them in check. Okay, we'll just kind of use the same language that they did in Captain America, right? Some of them say, well, you know, that's bordering on what do you call it when you keep people down, like oppression, but, you know, even more than that, prejudice, really. Okay, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I go with that. Mm-hmm.
And when you have these really strong arguments on either side, arguments that, you know, potentially have a lot of strength behind the truth of them, right? When really the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. And that's how faith is viewed. People have such a wide range of faith, of depth of their faith. And, some people are, that is all they are, is just their faith. And some people they don't even think about it. You know, they just kind of go through life wandering. But by giving characters like Lincoln and Yo-Yo and Mac, this destiny and this faith idea to latch onto when these things are happening, it gives them a hope and a purpose. So now that Lincoln, or God, I keep saying Lincoln instead of Mac, but now that Mac is feeling better about his faith as he's talking to Yo-Yo, and now that Daisy's back, you know, his eyes can kind of be opening up about other possibilities within humans. And I think that happened a little bit. When was it? I guess early in the season when he wasn't too keen on the idea of Inhumans.
Mm-hmm.
Was that this season or was that last season?
No, that was the first half of this season. Like, okay. When he met Joey and stuff. Well, I mean, it was a little bit last year, but he started dealing with it this year.
So when you have these topics that are really swimming in areas of gray between two really strong opinions, faith is a really good symbol to play off of that, because it's one of the things in our culture, in our society, on the entire planet that people use to make decisions in their life one way or the other.
I thought it was really interesting, though, the way you just linked faith to hope. Those seem to kind of go hand in hand, because Mac was kind of he had doubts about their ability to survive. You know, he didn't have any hope left, so his faith was waning. So it seems like those emotions, those ideals, are kind of connected and stuff like that.
Faith and hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And charity.
Throw a little charity. Yeah. There. Then you got magic number. So.
Yeah. I do also find it interesting when you have characters. Now, Mac doesn't have superpowers that we know about, other than just being a really awesomely cool guy.
He's got super pecs.
He does have super pecs. but, you know, characters with superpowers, and, you know, they're talking about faith. There's no overt mention of religion or a god, but I believe that isn't kind of inherent in any discussion of faith, though it doesn't have to be, but it feels like it does here, especially with the use of the cross necklace, which, you know, denotes a kind of a Catholic upbringing for these characters. But it's these characters with superpowers, yet they still feel that there is, you know, a character, a deity above them that is more powerful than they are, you know, that they are, I don't know, you know, that they believe in, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting aspect. Whereas Hive, he knows he's kind of all powerful. You know, he really doesn't have faith. It's, you know, you could almost say he's godless there. I don't know if you know, you can balance out this equation that, you know, it's the believers versus the non-believers, because, you know, Hive really is a believer in himself and his purpose as well. But, you know, I'm sure that people with religious backgrounds would argue that, you know, he doesn't have the backing of God to, you know, allow him to do.
Sure. He almost carries himself as if he believes he's a deity, you know?
Well, for, you know, again, with his powers, for all intents and purposes, he is. And again, that kind of goes back to the issues from Civil War, where, you know, even though he's an alien, you know, the Tony and Cap talk about Thor, you know, being a god, because he is, you know, it's just his powers are like that. And then you've got the humans, the civilians that don't have super suits or superpowers or anything like that. And they look at, you know, even Captain America, who is, you know, had the serum stuff put in him, this, you know, it's just, he's super. It's just, there is a godlike quality about him as well. So,
right. Then there's Hawkeye.
Yeah, poor Bart, Clint Barton. Yeah. So, all right. Well, a lot of interesting stuff here. I felt this was a good setup episode. It kind of came down a little bit from last week. There were some funny bits, but it was really just kind of a, let's get people where they need to be, but I felt they did it in a really interesting way. Hey, you know what? Maybe Lash is the one that they killed off, and that's what they meant by this whole thing. Maybe there is no one that's going to die next week.
That's the fallen agent right there.
Yeah. No.
It would technically count, I think. So, well, and I want to point out that I was completely wrong a couple weeks ago when I said they were going to find some way to get in there and save the Dr. Radcliffe you know, have him help to stop Hive. And instead, he's kind of totally on the side. But they did go in there and save Daisy and get her out of there. So,
and I think we haven't seen Guerra for a couple weeks, but I think he's still there. James is still there. I think all of Alicia's doubles are dead now. Who else would he have? It's just James and Guerra, right?
What, he's got a bunch of primitives now.
Oh, and well, he's only got two out of the five left. Three of them got killed.
Oh,
I did pay attention to that. So, huh. That may be enough, and maybe they will have made some more because they still do have some of Daisy's blood that they got before she had to fly. So, a couple references I wanted to point out here. This is technically a piece from Civil War, but I wasn't quite sure of the number, and they said it again here in S.H.I.E.L.D. So the accords were ratified by 117 countries. Why is that important? Well, in Captain America number 117, that was the first appearance of the Falcon, who is a big part of the film. So I thought that was cool. We finally got a name check for the Secret Warriors. Coulson says to Talbot, some battles were meant to be fought with secret warriors. Talbot referenced the good, the bad, and the ugly in referring to Yo-Yo, Lincoln, and Lash, which I thought was a clever way to do it. someone referred, I think it was Mac, refers to Hive and his group as the Hole in the Wall Gang, which is the name of the gang that Butch Cassidy had. His posse was called the Hole in the Wall Gang. So that was pretty interesting. And then the primitives, while they looked very much like something potentially out of either Pink Floyd's The Wall or there's a new show called Preacher on AMC, and there's a character on that called Arseface, who, long story, basically tried to kill himself, but basically he just kind of ended up shooting his face and messing it up. So it kind of looks like a pucker down around his mouth. Looks very similar to that. But these primitives are based on characters that are the slaves and the and subservient characters to the Inhumans that were genetically modified from Inhumans called Alpha Primitives. And they were a big part. They were introduced back in the 60s by Jack Kirby in Fantastic Four 67, 77, something like that. So,
see, again, tons of years of comics to draw stuff from.
Yeah, pulling all sorts of cool stuff. And usually they're the people that are working with the bad guys, the bad Inhuman, like Maximus the Mad, or somebody else like that. So, they're the henchmen characters in the Inhumans.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that Coulson is standing up on the side of his hero, Captain America, of course. So he said many of the same ideas he was telling Talbot, you know, that Captain America was expressing when they were talking about the Sokovia Accords. And you can tell that, you know, Coulson has definitely got the same sort of philosophy, which I would expect nothing less.
I mentioned this on our Civil War special, but it bears repeating here because so when Coulson and Talbot are sitting talking about that, Coulson, like you say, is a Cap fan and taking Captain America's side, while Talbot, you know, works for the government and is taking Iron Man's side. Well, the actor that plays Talbot was the voice of Iron Man in the Marvel Avengers TV series. So thought that was interesting. You've kind of got, you know, a Cap versus an Iron Man.
He's biased, man. Come on.
He is kind of biased there. Also, I do have to say, early on, when Coulson was doing something, I said, I think Coulson knows what's going on here. And then at the scene where Talbot was getting all agitated and saying, don't tell me to calm down. I'm the one supposed to be telling you to calm down. Wait, why are you so calm? I'm like, yeah. Coulson knows what's going on. He set this whole thing up. Like, we shouldn't believe that Lincoln's really escaping it. I was right. So
yes. Oh, you were right in so many ways this week. And I think you called a long time ago Lash versus Hive. So giving you total props because you made two pretty good predictions on our shows this week.
I canceled that last week, though, because I felt like the sway was going to be problematic. But
It still counts. It still counts.
Okay. All right. So, well, cool. Josh, thanks for joining me again. And I look forward to talking about the big, big, big season finale and probably an extra big episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files next week.
I am too. I wonder if they're going to have 20 minutes of previews before that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, Captain America.
Sure. If you get there 20 minutes early, you can do whatever you want.
All right. Cool. Well, hey, if you guys enjoyed us talking about the penultimate episode-ish of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we would love to hear some feedback from you. So let us know what you think of our show. Give us some feedback on iTunes. Also, you can contact us. Send us an email, shield@randomchatter.com. Give us your thoughts about this season, especially after the finale next week. I'd love to hear what people think of right after they watch the finale. Also, you can tweet at us at Agents Podcast and hop over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Agents Podcast.
You can also check out the other shows that we host here, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, all via randomchatter.com. All shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. You can make sure that we will still have stuff going over the summer like we always do. So keep your bandwidth tuned in to us even after the show's over. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.